You have your Bibles tonight. Find two scriptures, please. Find the book of Matthew. You should remember where that is. Find the sixth chapter. And also, if you would, please, find the book of Philippians. Find the fourth chapter. Matthew chapter 6. Philippians chapter number 4. Last couple of weeks, I have found that the Lord has given me the ability and the direction to kind of anchor the Sunday morning and the Sunday night service and fit them together in a position of unity and come at one direction in the morning service and then come back in the evening service. And the two messages together, I think, make a good meal for the day. This morning, we were in the book of Ecclesiastes and we were looking at the vexation of a life lived loving money. Solomon said that if you want to chase the wind, love money. He showed us how money really and truthfully is so limited. We think it to have great power and great ability, but truth be told, money is nothing more than a tool. And money in of itself is not bad, it's not good, it's just simply a tool. It's a means of exchange, it's a means of doing business. The problem is that in our humanity and in our human nature, it's possible to exalt money above where it should be in our lives. It's possible for a sinful love to develop for money. And so people have some misunderstanding about money. They think that money is going to bring satisfaction to them. And that Solomon said, if you love money, you'll never be satisfied by money. Do you know the name J.D. Rockefeller? You understand that name in our history books and a long time ago. And they asked Mr. Rockefeller, sir, when would you have enough money? And he said, I just want to keep earning $1 more. $1 more. Money itself will never satisfy your life. It won't satisfy your heart. You can never have enough money. He also said that money makes a horrible God because it cannot solve your problems. Amazes me how many people think that if they just had money, all their problems would go away. Solomon said in the book of Ecclesiastes that money brings its own problems. And money does bring its own problems. How do you know, Pastor? Do you have money? No, but I know people that have money, and I know poor people. And I told you this morning, everybody has problems. Okay? Money is not going to solve your problem. Solomon said, as you increase in wealth, there'll be those that will eat up your wealth. Another myth about money was that money would bring a peace of mind. Well, I just wouldn't have to worry so much, or I'd just like a little respite. I would just like to have a little reprieve from my nervousness. I just wish that I could have it planned out, Pastor. It seems like everybody else has things and I don't. Well, I got news for you. When you start scheming, you're going to find that you're going to start making some mistakes. Wealth does not bring peace of mind. We looked at that in Solomon about how that those people had to organize their money and protect it and keep it. Another myth about it was that wealth provides security. Well, if I just had money, then I would feel safe and I wouldn't have these difficulties and so on and so forth. And so these are myths that are so easily influential in our lives. And I think everybody in this room is capable of loving money. I'm capable of it, and you're capable of it. And so what I'm finding too is God's people, if we go down that path, We live vexed lives. We never enjoy. Matter of fact, that's next Sunday's message about enjoying. We never enjoy the life God has given to us. We never have the opportunity to know peace, to labor faithfully. We never have the opportunity to be content and just enjoy what God has. And I ended the message. I think I did it in the 11 o'clock service. I'm not exactly sure. I can't remember. It's funny how those services run together in my mind. But really and truthfully, it boils down sometimes to where what we think about money evidences what we think about God. Now we would never say that we love money over God. But sometimes, help me with this, actions speak louder than words. How do I know if I love money? Well, you know if you love money, if money has the same influence that God has in your life. And even Jesus, we'll talk about this in a little bit, said that you cannot serve two masters. You either love the one, hate the other, hold to the one, despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And so there's a battle there in our heart and our mind. Now, I want to come back tonight and I want to help you because the reality is we need money. The reality is that we have needs in our lives. And there's no doubting that. A preacher can't stand up and say that we don't need money. So how do we find a balance between needing money and loving money? And Pastor, where do I relate on that? Because let's face it, Pastor, I have to pay my light bill. I have to pay the rent. I have to pay this. I have to pay this. I have to pay this. And I think our focus is just a little bit off. Everybody has bills. If you have bills, say amen. We all have bills. We all have things. Now listen very carefully. That need to be paid. Here's where you run into your problem. I have to pay the rent. I have to pay the light bill. I have to pay this bill. We'll go to Philippians chapter 4 and look, if you would, please, at verse number 19. Paul taught us a little bit differently. Paul said, but my God shall supply all your what? Need, according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So, do you have needs? I have needs. Here's the problem. I really cannot do anything about my needs. My needs in life, especially from the day my kids were born, exceed my abilities. And it seems like life will always exceed our abilities. Where frustration sits in is when God's people take the responsibility upon themselves to meet their needs. Well, I have to do this or pay this, therefore I've got to do this. I have to do this, therefore this has to arrange in this order. My friend, let me tell you something. What you ought to say is, the Lord will provide my needs. So what do I say? I say, now God, I got needs, but you got to pay for them. And you promised to pay for them. And the moment you take on that personalization pressure to care for your needs, you've took on a manner of life that's not sustainable. Nobody can supply their own need without the Lord Jesus Christ. And so God's people need to understand. Now, I grew up in a home where my dad supplied our need. Anybody else grow up in a home with a good dad? You grew up in a home with a good dad. I grew up in a home with a great dad. And really and truthfully, as a kid, I never worried about the lights. I never turned them off. I never worried about the heat. I didn't close the doors. I never worried about where the next meal was going to come from. I never worried if we were going to go on vacation. I never worried if we were going to be able to get an ice cream. I never worried if we were going to be able to do something special. Why? Because my Father provided in our home. Okay? Now, my dad walked with God. My dad had God's power all over him. And I can remember times in our home where the need was great, and my dad would pray, and God would provide that need miraculously. By the way, our God can do miracles. Okay? I'll never forget, I remember this as vivid as could be. This wasn't one for our house, but it was for our church. The church needed money. He needed like $6,000-some-odd. My dad prayed. A man drove in off the street in a pickup truck, parked in our front yard, knocked on the front door, and said, "Pastor, God wanted me to give this money to the church," and laid down almost to the penny that money. I'll never forget that as a kid. I'll never forget when we didn't have groceries and Dad would pray in groceries. What am I trying to say? As a child, it was not my responsibility to worry about the home. That was my Father's responsibility. Do you understand that? Okay. Well, I got news for you. I'm 43. Am I 43? Yeah, I'm 43. I was born in 73. I'm 43. But I'm still someone's child, and He is my heavenly Father. Okay, so let's make some application here. 13, 14, 15, I didn't think about anything, man. My dad provided for us. Now, he got from God. 43 years old now as a husband and a father and the man of our house, I'm still a child of the living God. And the way that my earthly father cared for me is my heavenly Father can care for me. So it wasn't my responsibility as a child to take care of the bills of the house. That was my dad's responsibility. So over here, it's not my responsibility to take care of my life. It's not my responsibility to carry the burden and pressure of that. Now, I can't be flippant, and I can't be dishonest, and I can't be those things. But my heavenly Father has made some promises to me. And that's why I love Matthew chapter number 6. Because in Matthew chapter 6, you will find that our Father is mentioned 12 times. Is the word Father mentioned in this. And the Lord Jesus is the one that is speaking here. And in Matthew chapter 6, we preached about this, and I'm not going to rehearse all of that. You will find that Jesus is encouraging these people with the Father's ability. And you will find that the word Heavenly Father is mentioned. We know that to be throughout the chapter here, and you'll see that. And by the way, is God your Heavenly Father and you're His child? Say amen. Amen. So, it's unfair for the preacher to say, don't love money, but not recognize that we need money. But I come back at that statement and say, it's not so much that we need money, it's that we need to know the assurance that our Heavenly Father can meet our needs. And so we kind of think this is what we need, and we take this on personally, but we really need to understand that God has that. And so as we make our way through this chapter, there's some things about your Heavenly Father that I hope will bless you. In verse number 1 to 6 and verses 16 to 18, these two passages of Scripture, one deals with offering and the other one deals with fasting, but there's a theme in these. Look, if you would, at verse number 4. That thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in what class? Secret, himself shall reward thee openly. Look, if you would, at verse number 6. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. When you come down to verse number 18, it's talking about fasting here, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. And I want you to know that our Heavenly Father has better X-ray vision than Superman. And Jesus is saying to these people who were new converts, who had come out of Judaism and who had been brought into the kingdom of light. And he's saying, now listen, your Heavenly Father sees even the secret parts of your life. And so many times we come to church, or so many times we have a public persona here, but it's the secretness of our lives. It's the secret needs that we don't tell anybody about. It's those needs that we feel like we're the only ones that know that really twist us in a direction. And those needs can take us away from what God would have for us. But I got news for you. Your Heavenly Father sees you. Are my kids in here? Is Tommy in here? I want to use Tommy. Okay, Tommy, I want to use you for an example. Something happened to Tommy. One day, he was this little boy running around my house. One day, I remember standing in the kitchen, and I thought, who's this man in my house, and who's inside here? I heard this man talking like this, and he passed me, and man, the kids hit a growth spurt. Tommy will literally eat two or three dinners and sit down with a bag of chips and finish that whole bag of chips. I can't keep food in the boy. There was a time when I couldn't even keep shoes on his feet. They was like the Incredible Hulk. Those feet were just growing. You remember that? And so I would see him. Now, he hates shopping. He's a true man. And all the men said, amen, Pastor. If you like shopping, you got problems. Just kidding about that. But I would see him walk in, and sometimes he had outgrown his pants. And they were like, can you see that? They would be like high water pants. And sometimes he was, and I would say, son, we got to go get you something, man. You're growing out of your clothes. And these were things that he wouldn't see, but I would see. So God, as our Heavenly Father, he knows when we've grown out of our clothes. He knows when you have a difficult moment. He knows when that bill comes and you're surprised. He knows when the cupboard is bare. He knows when we don't know what we're going to do here. He sees his kids. And I love him for that. He sees in secret. If you look at verse number 8, how powerful this is. Or verse number 7 says, but when you pray, use not vain repetition as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father, what's that word? Knoweth what things you have need of. Look at the rest of that. Before you ask him. That's fantastic. Jesus says, now your Heavenly Father sees the secret things of your life. And not only does he see those, but he knows your need even before you do. He knows your need even before you ask him. He knows next week your car is going to break down. I hope that's not my car, Lord, but he knows that you're going to have a medical accident, or he knows that there's going to be something wrong. He knows our needs before we do. So when that need is unfolded to us, we go ballistic like something new has just happened. And God said, oh yeah, I knew about that. And by the way, I'm able to meet that need. Now, here's where it's determined whether you love money or you love God. If you love money, then when something happens and your need shows up, you run right back to money. Or, if you love the Lord, you enter into your prayer closet. Now, the problem with most of us is not that our God is not able to meet our need. The problem is we never ask Him. We never ask Him. He said, when you pray. And then in verse number 9, He teaches us how to pray. It goes all the way down. Look, if you would, at chapter 7. Look at verse number 7. Ask and it'll be given you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it'll be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. To him that knocketh it'll be opened. What man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give, what's the word, class? Good things to them who ask. Ask. Now listen, anytime my kids ask me for something good, I'll bend over backwards to give it to them. Any good parent, when your kid asks you for something good, you should bend over backwards to give it to them. And God says now, and Jesus said, now listen, your heavenly Father knows you have need. He sees in secret. He knew this need even before you did. So you can go to Him and you can ask Him about the need. Now, Lord, I have this need and you've got to respond to this need. Lord, I can't handle that need. That thing's above me. So here's the real question. Do you really believe God can do anything? Do you believe that God can do anything? Do you believe that He can come through in the last moment or He can come through here? And so the problem is sometimes we kind of think, well, I'm not sure that even God can do this. My friend, God can do anything. He sees in secret. He knows our need. We can pray and He promises to answer. I love verses 25 and 26. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, those are birds, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Now, I don't know about you, but I see a lot of birds flying around here. I've got to feed 4 birds. And it's all I can do to feed 4 birds. Your heavenly Father feeds every bird on the planet. Every day. I don't see a lot of skinny birds. Now watch. Are you not much, what's that word? Better than they? I always knew value from my dad. My dad was very careful never to belittle his children. He was very careful never to say things like, you're stupid or this or that. My dad was a very guarded man in his approach to his boys and to his girls. And in that home, we felt valued. Now, if we messed up, that was a different story. But we still felt love in the midst of messing up. Can I just tell you something? Your Heavenly Father values you. He values you. And He said, if I can take care of the birds, I didn't die for the birds. I died for you, Tom. I died for you, Malcolm. I died for you, Gary. I died for you, Mom. And every single day I feed the animals of the planet. I keep the stars hanging where they are. I allow the sun to rise and to set. I love the moon to come up. I hold the seas where they are. If I can do all that, God says, I think I can take care of you. And by the way, you're more valuable to me than they. Money doesn't value you. Money makes you chase it. Then once you catch it, it's going to try to run away. But God has tremendous value on his kid. Don't think because you have problems, God doesn't love you. Don't think because you're not rich that somehow God doesn't value you. Don't think just because you have needs that somehow you're underprivileged. God has no underprivileged children. You're valued. Because of that, look if you would at verse 31 and 32. Therefore, take no thought saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father, what's that word? Knoweth that you have need of all these things. What's Jesus saying? He's saying, listen, there's no need to worry. There's no need to fret. There's no need to fret over the basics of life. There's no need to fret over the provision of life. Your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. Now, I have found this. It's not the lack of cruising that sends us into despair. By that, I mean this. It's not the luxuries that change my walk with the Lord. It's not the luxuries that cause me to panic or the luxuries that cause anxiety in my life. But when life touches the basic necessities, I'm going to lose my house. We don't have food. I'm not sure about our clothing and our shelter. It's when life touches the basics that we think we need to survive. That has the ability to change my whole perspective. Because immediately I think, well, I'm going to be on the street. Or immediately I think we're going to have suffering here. Or immediately I think of all of these kind of things. It's not the luxuries in life. It's the basics in life that really hurt us. And here's what Jesus is saying. He knew that. He said, now listen, it's the basics in life that God, your Heavenly Father, will provide. He knows you have need of all of these things. And just as any good father would do for his children, it's the father's responsibility to provide the basics for his kids. Amen? So I have a phrase I use in my house. It goes something like this to Madison and Casey. Your husband can pay for that. Dad, we'd like to go here. Your husband can take you there. Dad, I need your husband can buy that for you. I'll take care of your basics. I'll take care of your necessities. And I'll even throw some luxury in there. But there's some things that joker's going to pay for. Right? So if God, your heavenly Father, promises that he's going to meet our need, why would you worry? Because we're human. And because if we let that sinful nature rise up, it'll hurt us. Verse 33 is important, and I'm done. So what do we do, Pastor? Well, in verse 33 it says, let's read it out loud together. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So what's my responsibility as a Christian? What's my responsibility when it comes to the needs of life? Because, Pastor, I don't love money, but I need money. Pastor, I have some necessities, or I have some luxuries I want. Pastor, I got some things I want to do. We got some dreams. We want to do certain of these things. Right. And your Heavenly Father knows about it. He values that. He's able to meet that need. Your responsibility is to seek first the kingdom of God. Your responsibility is to obey him. Your responsibility is to serve him. Your responsibility is to seek first the righteousness. And then you will find that God will begin to add to you the joys of life. And by the way, God's able to give us a good life. A good life. So here's the opposite. The opposite says, well, I need money, so I'm just not going to tithe. Why would you do that? Why? Why would you do that? I don't understand why anybody that says they're a Christian would not tithe first and trust God to meet our needs. That blows my mind. I have a heavenly Father who's promised to care for me, and I'm going to steal from him and try to care for myself. That sounds like a good plan, doesn't it? All right. Or the other opposite is, well, Pastor, I got so many needs over here that my finances, I've got to arrange my life differently. So now we're chasing after money. And you don't find money inside the church because you have to give money inside the church. So you'll find that those problems will take you away from the house of God. They'll take you away from the worship of God. They'll take you away from your routine and walking with the Lord. And when you start chasing money, the path that money will take you on is a dangerous path. So why would you not just walk that old path right to your prayer closet and drop on your knees and say, Father, this is my situation, and this is what I need. The only reason that I would not do that is because I don't think it will work. But I got news for you. This works every time. The only reason I don't walk to my prayer closet and fall on my face and say, now, Dad, I need help. It's because I don't think it will work. Well, chasing the wind will vexate you and frustrate you, but the Father will care for you. Yeah, we need money. Yeah, we need things. But our Heavenly Father will take care of us. Don't you love Sunday night service? I have a goal for Sunday night service. My goal for Sunday night service when you leave is that you're inspired to start Monday right with the Lord. This inspired me to start Monday right with the Lord. Shall we pray? Thank you.